Okay, Bereshit Karabkin. So just briefly, as we know, I'm sure, Yom Kippur starts this Friday night. And the poskim discuss a important clarification of a misconception. We read in Yonah, we read in the Haftorah, that the emphasis of fast days are supposed to be tshuva. It's not enough just to go through the motions of not eating, of not drinking. We're supposed to tear our hearts, whatever exactly that means, but we're supposed to do tshuva, and it's not enough to just fast. And they note, the Gemara in Tainis says that when they used to fast for the fast for rain, they would emphasize the pasuk in Yonah that says that Hashem saw the actions of Nineveh rather than their fasting, but he saw the fact that they did tshuva. Now, because of that, some people have the misconception that that means that davening in shul is also more important than fasting, and therefore, if they're faced with the choice, some people are so sick that they can't fast at all on Yom Kippur. Some people are healthy enough they have no problem going to shul and fasting, but some people, when you're borderline, if you stay in bed and you fast, so then you'll be able to make it through the fast. But if you go to shul, so then you're going to have to break the fast, or you're going to potentially have to break the fast. And people think that because the main part of Yom Kippur is tshuva, so it's better for them to go to shul. If that risks them having to break the fast, so then that's what they should do. But that is that's not true, because the biblical mitzvah of Yom Kippur is fasting. Right, the only biblical mitzvah we have Yom Kippur are the inuyim, or fasting, and all the other inuyim, whether they're deraisa or derabanan, what exactly that is, but that's the main mitzvah, and the avodas Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol. But the davening is something that came after Churban HaBayit, and the main mitzvah is fasting, and therefore the Chasam Sofer in his Tshuvot, in Chelek Vav, Tshuva Chav Gimel, says explicitly, if your choice is going to shul and having to break the fast, or staying home, so then you should stay home. And I remember when Orah was pregnant with Meir, that was the case. She'd fainted on Rosh Hashanah. So when it came time for Yom Kippur, Sarai Willick said, it's better for you to stay at home and fast rather than go to shul and risk having to break the fast. This is quoted as well in Shmir Shabbos Kelchasen, Perek Lamed Tet. It's quoted in the Nishmas Avram. Rishon Zalman Orbach takes this farther in two respects. First of all, he says that this isn't only true if you're going to have to break the fast fully. Even if this will force you to break the fast through shiurim, right, having the minimal amount. And even, he says, if by staying at home you would decrease the number of times you have to eat shiurim by one over the course of the whole day, that also would be enough of a reason for you to stay home, because as much as you can minimize eating in Yom Kippur, that is the mitzvah of the day. Then he takes it yet a step further, and he says, not only is the mitzvah of fasting more important than you going to shul, but let's say, in my case, Orah couldn't go to shul. If I had to stay home so that she'd be able to fast, so he said, that's also more important. It's more important the husband and the wife stay home rather than either of them go to shul, if that means that one of them is going to be able to fast who otherwise wouldn't. And that's the Pesach of Shlomo Zalman. Now, while in the footnotes in Alicha Shlomo, he notes that one could have argued, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, that if one went to shul and one was involved in the mitzvah, and that's the reason you end up having to break the fast, you're not liable. So in the end of the day, because the biblical mitzvah is fasting, and davening is only rabbinic, he thinks that the consensus of poskim, and to the best of my knowledge, there's no poskim that explicitly disagrees with this, if you have the choice between fasting and going to shul, so fasting is always going to win out. Now, I should note, that doesn't mean that one shouldn't do tshuva. Right? We tend to equate tshuva and shul. Tshuva and kapara is part of Yom Kippur. It's just the way we do it in shul is a dirabban replacement of the avoda. And therefore, if Naftali Halperin notes that, let's say one is at home and isn't even strong enough to daven b'yachidus, if they can muster up the energy to at least say the viduyim, that is what they should give use their energy for, because in the end of the day, it may not be about going to shul, but Yom Kippur is very much about tshuva, and therefore, if you do have enough energy to at least daven something, you should make it the viduyim, the al-chayt, so that you do participate in the main theme of the day. And like I said, as far as I know, this is the consensus of major poskim, and they go to great lengths to dispel the misconception that people have. Right, Kropkin can correct me if there's anybody who disagrees.
No, but we still want to see you in shul.
We still want to see you in shul. This is not a heter. That's true. That's true. But in a case where there is such a choice, fasting still is the ikar mitzvah of the day, even if that will come at the cost of shul. But again, tshuva is still the central mitzvah of the day. So if someone is stuck in that situation, they should find a way of spending some time on tefillah at home, and at least the viduyim, so they do participate in that theme of the day, even if they can't make it to the full davening experience in shul.